Father God, we thank you that you have not left us in the dark about yourself, but have given us this reliable, trustworthy record in the Bible. Would you help us now, by your Holy Spirit, to understand what is written and what it means for us? For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, don't answer straight away. Don't shout out straight away. But we'll give a chance, even for the slowest amongst us, to get this one. We're going to put on the screen the names of four cities. Okay, here they come. Names of four cities, and the question is, what do they have in common? Okay, so it's Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, the carnival city. Lisbon, Portugal. Cochabamba in Bolivia. And Svibodzin in Poland. Okay, I'll give you a minute for the cogs to turn, and then I'll start asking for answers. What do those four cities have in common? Okay, that's given everyone a chance to at least read the names of the cities. Any thoughts? We've got a few football. Host cities of the World Cup. We've got two votes for football. No, not football this time. Oh, Paul has got it. Very large statues of Jesus. So very good. Let's have them up. Here they are. Here are these statues. Anyone been to Rio? One. Anyone been to Lisbon? A few. Anyone been to Cochabamba? Anyone been to Svibodzin? Dear me. It's not my audience. There we go. Well, anyway, four cities. We could have, of course, as you'll be well aware, we could have added to that list San Salvador City in El Salvador, Vung Tau in Vietnam, Eureka Springs, Arkansas, USA. There's a few of these cities around the world where they've put up these huge statues of Jesus. Perhaps the one in Rio is the most famous. Christ the Redeemer statue stands at 30 metres tall with its arms stretched 28 metres on top of the Corvado Mountain. It was built between 1926 and 1931. This towering structure of Jesus there, which dominates the skyline. In Lisbon, actually, it was, I found out, the Cardinal of Lisbon visited Rio, decided that he quite liked that statue, they should have one themselves, and they built theirs in the 60s. The Cristo in Bolivia, dominating the skyline of Cochabamba. And finally, the Svibodzin, Christ the King statue. I'm surprised you've not heard of that, because at 52.5 metres tall, including the mound, it is the tallest statue of Jesus in the world. If you've not yet booked your summer holidays, get on Google. I'm sure they'll be doing flights to Poland. So here's the thing. Four cities are four great big statues of Jesus. And if you're in those cities, it would be hard to escape the fact that Jesus is there, up on a mountain, up on a hill, towering over the city. So whatever you're getting on with, doing your day job, or whatever work it is that you're doing day to day, oh, well, it seems that Jesus is up there and you're in the shadow of Christ. Well, of course, that's not only true if you're in one of these cities. And that's what we'll be looking at as we look at Philippians 2. Thanks, Richard. I think we can lose the pictures now. We don't need a statue of Jesus to know that Jesus is highly exalted. In fact, we find out in this reading from Philippians that Jesus was always highly exalted. Now look at verse 6 with me. It says about Jesus that though he was in the form of God, he did not account equality with God a thing to be grasped. That is, though he was in the form of God, it's the idea of being very God himself, the very essence of God, very image of God himself. Though Jesus is fully and completely God, the Son of God, part of the eternal Trinity. And as that God, he is highly exalted. Always. He always has been from all eternity. And yet, although Jesus was always highly exalted, now the second thing we find out in these verses is that Jesus humbled himself. that he didn't stay in that exalted place in heaven. Let's carry on reading. From verse 7, it says of Jesus, he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. This Son of God had every right to remain in heaven, to remain highly exalted, to remain in glory, to remain with his Father there in heaven. And yet we read that he didn't cling on to that. It's the idea he didn't demand his rights, he didn't grasp that which was already rightfully his, but he freely and voluntarily relinquished that status and that position and that exalted position to come down to earth. But it didn't stop there. He came to earth not as a king, as perhaps we may think, but he came as an ordinary man, even described here as a servant. An ordinary man in an ordinary country. And it didn't even stop there. Jesus continued to humble himself. And so we read in verse 8 that being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus came all the way from the exalted position in heaven, down to earth as a servant, but more than that, to the point of the cross, to death on the cross. And it begs the question, why? Why would this king, so highly exalted for all eternity, choose to come to earth? And once on earth, why would he be willing to subject himself to such a shameful and painful and horrific death as the death of the cross? Now, the answer, in fact, we've already heard. The statue in Rio. What's it called? Anyone remember the name of the statue in Rio? Christ the Redeemer. And it's the redeeming work of Jesus that the cross points us to. Jesus came to be the Redeemer, as we sang in that song, to be the one who would rescue us. A Redeemer is one who pays the ransom price to release slaves from their slavery and set them free. And so Christ came to die on the cross as Redeemer, to pay a ransom price for sinners, for people like you and people like me. Jesus was always highly exalted, and yet Jesus humbled himself. And the third thing we see in this passage from Philippians is that Jesus is now highly exalted. We see this in verse 9, where it says, therefore, God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. God has exalted Jesus. Although he went to the shame of the cross, Jesus didn't stay dead. He was exalted. He was exalted when he came out of the tomb, risen from the dead. He was exalted when he ascended into heaven, back to his rightful throne. And he's exalted now, today. So we don't need a statue of Jesus to exalt Jesus. God has already exalted him. He has already raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus now towers not over one city, not over one country. Jesus towers over the whole world, over the whole universe. And in fact, he towers over history. So there you are, getting on with your day job in Rio, getting ready for the World Cup. Some of them aren't getting on with their day jobs, there's strikes going on. But whatever it is that you happen to be doing there in Rio, you look up Jesus there on the mountain. Well, what about you and me? Do we live in the light, in the realization that Christ the Redeemer is indeed raised and exalted high? Do we know that when we're getting on with our day-to-day lives, the things that we do, going to school, going to work, washing up, do we know that Jesus is there, highly exalted over you, highly exalted over me? Apparently it's considered an offence or certainly ill manners to turn your back on the Queen. If you're ever in that position, you have to back yourself out of the room. I read a report of someone who made hats for the Queen who got himself frozen in the middle of the room, and he suddenly couldn't remember what he was meant to do, didn't know how to turn, knew he wasn't allowed to turn around, had finished his job with the Queen, and he just stood there. He didn't know what to do until the Queen noticed that he was just standing there, and she turned around, and then he scarpered quickly. It's an offence to turn your back on the Queen. But how much worse, then, to turn our back on Jesus, to turn our back on the living Redeemer and King? Well, we read in verse 10 that one day all of us will see Jesus for the King that he is. It says this: at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So one day we will all see Jesus highly exalted, and we will all bow the knee. The question is whether we do that now willingly as his friends and as his subjects, or whether we're forced to do it as rebels when we finally see the exalted King. In a group this size, I don't know what you make of Jesus. Perhaps you are very sceptical of his claims. Perhaps you're not really sure what to make of him, how trustworthy he is, how trustworthy the Bible is. Well, here at Snotlands, we love to try and help people understand more of Jesus, what he came to do, what it means to follow him. And if you're somebody who'd be interested in finding more out about Jesus, then please do talk to myself or Mark or someone afterwards, and we can point you to ways that we can help you do that. But it may be that you're here this afternoon and you do know that Jesus is the King. You are living as a Christian. And the thing for us to do is simply to remember that we need never fear our King, because he came to be our Redeemer. As we reflect on that incredible condescension of the Son of God, from the glory of heaven to the anguish of the cross, we see what length he went to rescue us. And so the last thing this passage tells us is how we should react, how we should respond. Verse 5 says this: have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. In other words, you act the same as him. Have the same mind amongst yourselves. So we follow his pattern of willfully humbling and submitting and sacrificing ourselves for the sake of others. And as we do that, we know that we're serving our great King and Redeemer. So Jesus dominates the skyline, not just of Rio, not just of Lisbon, not just of Cochabamba, not just of Svebodson. Jesus dominates the skyline of history. Bow before your King today. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you that you have highly exalted Jesus. We thank you that he now sits and reigns with you in heaven. And I pray that for each and every one of us gathered here today, that we would know what it means to bow the knee to him, that we would live each day in the knowledge that he is indeed risen and highly exalted over our lives, over our world. And may we live as those with that same mind and that same attitude, willing to follow in the footsteps of our King and Redeemer, for we ask it in his name. Amen.